Blog Talk Radio.
John Talk Radio. This is our October the 31st Ow! 2015. How'd you like that, guys?
That was good.
Oh, I thought it was Wolfman Jack.
It's just spirit hit me. I don't know what it was all about, but it's just the spirit of the today's Halloween day, and it's like great. I think we've done Halloween shows before, guys. It's so great.
Yes.
Plus the fact that now that we're doing it combined in with some people would think is the most horrific thing of all, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So it all ties together, and a lot of people think that because they're not in it. But we're going to talk about that tonight. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the overview of who is not in and why. So that's a mystery. It's a mystery tonight on John Talk Radio, talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with my special guest and my dear friends, the Timmons brothers, John and David. John and David, welcome to the show.
Oh, glad to be here, John.
John, you really opened the show with a different way this time, right? That was good. That was good.
That devil woman, I think, was my old English teacher. It had to be.
You know, she's got evil on her mind, David.
That's definitely.
You better be careful that there might be a person place a curse on you, and you go back to seek help, and then that's the person that gave you the curse.
Yeah, and you're in big trouble then. Now you don't know what to do.
Yeah,
I was thinking about that. You know, John is like, one of the things that's so amazing to me, I can't believe that Cliff Richard is not in the Hall of Fame. It's just kind of, I mean, we're going to talk about that. But also, it's like, well, you know, it's Halloween, and you don't get much spookier than Devil Woman. So let's start off the show with that. And to think about, I'm going to ask you guys a question. We got a lot to talk about in today's show. But what else could Cliff Richard do? What can you possibly do to accomplish in your career to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that he hasn't done? If somebody was to say, okay, Cliff, you're not in, buddy, but, you know, if you'd had maybe more hit records. Well, he's got many, many hit records, right? He's, how about number one hits? I mean, I think he's even topped the Beatles and the Rolling Stones with that in some categories.
John, it's amazing to me about Cliff Richard. If you remember, the Beatles had a lot of respect for Cliff Richard because the first rock and roll record that John Lennon listened to was Move It, and that gave him the idea of going into rock and roll. And it was also the Beatles heard when Cliff Richard didn't succeed in the U.S., they had a fear of returning to the U.S. because Paul McCartney said, if Cliff Richard can't make it, can we make it? So Cliff Richard's been respected all over the world, and he as many hit records he has, how the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has shunned him is beyond me. He sold out the Tokyo Egg Dome in 1997, and not too many bands, not even bands, have sold that out for three straight nights. And to do that late in his career tells me a lot. He's had a lot of major hits. He's counted as the Elvis Presley of Europe. And Cliff Richard, to me, is when you think about England, you can't help but not think about Cliff Richard. To me, he's probably as high up there on EMI's record charts. He sold more records for EMI than the Fab Four, like you quoted, and sold more than the Stones over in Europe. So you just wonder why they shun him. But I think it's cause, and we'll bring this up later, there's something about the English bands and English singers, and I'll let John bring this up more, that they seem to kind of discriminate, don't they, John?
You know, when you look at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it seems to be a bias toward the Brits. I mean, that they don't take as many British acts into the Hall of Fame as they do American acts. But in reference to Cliff Richard there, John, you said, okay, Cliff, what do you need to do to get in? Do you need to sell another 50 million? You've only sold 250 million records.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, John. It's like, what can you possibly do that he hasn't done?
And Dave and I, we were talking about this last night, and I asked Dave a trivia question. I said, Dave, do you know how many top 40 records, top 40 hits, has Cliff Richard had in the United Kingdom? And he said a good guess, and I would have thought, yeah, you're probably right. He said, let me guess, 30, 35. I said, that's high, isn't it? He goes, yeah. He goes, well, Dave, I'm about ready to surprise you. 124 top 40 hits in the United Kingdom.
That's a lot of records.
And
that's,
I think people,
that's enough to fill up one of those little 45, the RPM carrying boxes everybody used to have. You'd have one box, nothing but Cliff Richard 45s.
I bet the RCA dog says, I can't believe it. I'm still listening to Cliff Richard. You know, he's just like, hold on.
Yeah, you could have a whole jukebox with just his hits in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so. You mentioned it, David, about the early Cliff Richard stuff. Cliff Richard in the Shadows, I believe. That takes you back to early rock and roll. So, I mean, if you're thinking about it, I mean, I was thinking about this myself. So what category do you want to be in? He's been in every category there is, I think. He's been in the oldies. He's been in the British beat. He's been in the 80s where you had, you know, those hits. He's even crossed over into Christian contemporary music. He's hit every genre of music there is. That I mean, I I don't know what else he could possibly do.
And John, he just recently recorded last year a children's record for the Bible story songs. And you talk about a guy that goes all genres. He definitely does. And Olivia Newton-John gives him credit. He jump-started her career. She was a young girl from Australia, and Cliff Richard was on tour. She auditioned to be one of his backup girl singers at 17 years old, and look what he'd done for her career. And he was the one that told her, after she had been a backup singer for so long, said, "You're good enough to go on your own." And when Cliff Richard says that, and also, John, he hosted the Top of the Pops over in England from 1966 to 72, and he was their host almost every week, and he would introduce groups, and I got to see a couple of his videos. There's one I still like. It's one of my all-time favorites. It's him and Mark Bolan singing together, and you talk about two different characters, Mark Bolan in makeup and Cliff Richard singing backup vocals. But he just, no matter what, he just knows how to sell himself, and his fans are so loyal. In New Zealand, John, was at four shows he sold out in New Zealand that time, and they sat on the mountainsides to see him.
It's not just United Kingdom. It's an international appeal. I mean, his hits extend from South America to South Africa to Australia. Even though he had some success in the USA, compared to what he had in other countries, it's been minor. I mean, and he had a fair amount of success in the United States, I must say. He had at least two songs made top 10. We just played one of them, which is The Evil Woman from 1976.
Right. Then he appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, didn't he, John, for Summer Holiday?
Yeah, back in the 60s.
Yes.
So it just, I think it's a great way to start it off, because I think this will give us a jumping off point, guys, to say, okay, what is the criteria? What are the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame people, the voters, the officials, whoever they are, what are they looking for? What is it, John and David, that you have to accomplish in order to get in?
Well, you know, one thing about the Hall of Fame, when it comes to criteria, they're pretty broad, and they're actually proud that they are not transparent. They almost brag about it, like they kind of don't want too much information released to the public. But what they will tell us, okay, is that you can only go into it if 25 years after the release of your first record, and that one's pretty black and white. That's pretty clear. But then you get into this broad category. How do you define criteria? Includes the influence and the significance of the artist's contributions to the development and perpetuation of rock and roll. Now, that's very broad. And then they say to be selected for induction, you must receive the highest number of votes and more than 50% of votes. But here's the problem I have, John, is who votes? Nobody knows for sure who it is. They keep it really hidden who is actually this voting public. I mean, we have no way to know who they are. We're told they're producers, they're journalists, they're academics, but nobody can come up with a list. Here are the voters.
Wow.
Well,
what do you think?
My opinion, too, John.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I think what it is, too, they have their certain groups they don't like. They're not fair to them, or single artists. Look how long Neil Diamond was getting in. And to me, I think some of them, they said, and I have a think there's a few on that committee. Now, this is my own opinion. If they have not liked that gentry of music, they're not going to back it. But that's my opinion.
Well, everybody has their own biases, you talked about a little bit earlier. But I think when you get to this point where you're trying to honor the top people in rock and roll, and it's pretty cool because rock and roll isn't that old. And, it's fairly new. And so it's a lot of people that were in the very beginning of it are still alive today, which is pretty awesome if you think about it. What are some of the things, guys, that a person, whether it's a band or an individual artist, what are the benefits that they get from being inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Well, you know,
for me,
I think
for one thing,
it becomes like a card-carrying member. You can now say Hall of Fame artist so and so is coming to your town. You know, it might sort of revive their touring career, but it, to me, it's just sort of kind of an affirmation that they were important to the industry and to rock and roll.
But then you got some of them, though, John. At the point of this, too, once you become a member, automatically your music sales always goes up because people either buy them off the airwaves or something because, hey, what is these ones that made the Hall of Fame? But them here again, though, being a member of the Hall of Fame, is, to me, it's like once you wear that Hall of Fame ring, which they give you, too, at the Hall of Fame, you're classified as an icon. That's my opinion, because to get there, but there's some artists there I just still don't agree with who they have put in, and maybe that's the way I am, but to be a member of that, they're just unique, and to get through all that voting and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a big point. I was just wondering, like, I think it is a big criteria. It's a huge honor to be in that, but I also think that there are people that don't agree with that and that think that it's kind of a sham. And so that's probably, guys, a lot of the folks that aren't in it think that. But when you get in it, you probably change your mind. But I was just wondering about that, because once you get that honor, how does that affect your career? I mean, do you think that does affect it monetarily? And although it would be great, it would be a great hit to your ego, that, you know, make you feel pretty good about that fact, and that you have made it. I mean, I was just wondering how that does translate into success or continued success in their careers. What's your take on that?
Yeah, John. Other times, though, it could be because what you affected on others in music. Like I always said, when they put Led Zeppelin in there, look how many bands Led Zeppelin affected. Even now, I know you interview some bands, and some of their members of these independent bands still respect Led Zeppelin because they're iconic and the Hall of Fame. And you think that way with them, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, what they did for the music industry, and I think it has a lot to it. Then you have like the Clash, how they influenced the punk scene. And I think sometimes what you've done for the industry, and I think that what too, and you influence a lot of, Bob Dylan's one of the best examples I can think of. That man's songwriting ability and stuff influenced so many artists even yet today. And I think that's another criteria of getting in there. And when we get to the Raiders, I got a good criteria why they should be there. And basically, and I'll let John answer the rest.
Well, you know, I think if you get in the Hall of Fame, and I think eventually they want to make the Hall of Fame kind of a mecca for the history of rock and roll, and people won't make as far as the pilgrimage to show their tribute to rock and roll. It makes your music timeless, that you're going to be in that Hall of Fame forever. So when people walk through the aisles and they look who's Hall of Fame, once you're on there, whoever comes to the visit, they're going to be aware of them and maybe sometimes be curious to find out more about them. I think it makes it go transcends beyond just an era. And that's why I think it's sort of, again, it's an affirmation to you made a difference in the rock and roll world.
And I agree with that. I just think that how your life would change. Now, like if you're in a, say like Cliff Richard, a solo artist, right? Or you could be in a band that, like the Imperials or a band like that, that you could be a member of that band that no one would even know who you were because, you know, you weren't that famous individually. Do you agree with that? But you still have entry into the Hall of Fame.
That's a very good point. Because,
yeah, that is.
There's been a streak here in recent years. They're finally catching up where they put in the lead singers, and then now they're putting in the background bands. And, you know, and as you indicated, they're kind of faceless people. We don't know the names, but as a unit, they're in the Hall of Fame. I mean, James Brown's backup band. You could just name a lot of artists from the 50s that they're finally putting in that were like the bands. So I don't know. I mean, if, you know, maybe it doesn't rejuvenate their careers or anything, but at least it's kind of a testament that they made a difference.
Look at all Paul Rogers bands. And there's a guy that should be in the Hall of Fame, not only as a lead singer, but all these bands he's been in, and none of them get credit. And because they're all British bands. You have Bad Company, Free, The Firm, The Law, and to me it just I think Paul Rogers should go in for both categories and myself because when you and he's worked with Queen, I forgot that and you talk about a working lead singer. If anybody deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, it's Paul Rogers.
Oh, he's got an amazing voice. You know exactly who it is when you hear him sing. And people have tried to mock him and tried to duplicate it, and they just can't do it. And that's a great point because, you know, you think about – you could ask the same question for Paul Rogers. What else can he do?
Yeah, exactly. What can he do? That man worked so hard, I tell you. And I've been a Paul Rogers fan since day one. The only thing I didn't like one time, he stole Mick Rouse from Mott the Hoople, but I couldn't help that when they formed Bad Company. But
let it go.
But that's another story.
And he took the song "Move It" or "Move It On" with him, right? Yeah. And right, Dave?
He actually took a couple of the songs with him from Mott the Hoople.
Yeah.
And "Ready for Love" was originally written for Ian Hunter and Mick Rouse, but Mick Rouse took the song and put it over with Bad Company. But I got both versions "Ready for Love," and like I said, Paul Rogers gives it justice, though. He's just that good of a lead singer, so I can't really say. But if I was voting for a Hall of Fame member, and Paul Rogers had to go in every one of them bands I mentioned. You think of Bad Company, every one of them guys was a major star in their own band, and but then again, they're from England, and I think that's – and I'm going to press that.
Wow. And it goes back to the bias against the Brits. You mentioned Bad Company, kind of a superstar band, and they all came from other units that you could make an argument. Each one would make a case that Free could be in the Hall of Fame, that, dare I say it, Mott the Hoople could be in the Hall of Fame. That,
yay!
You know, but – and Simon Kirk was in what group? King Crimson? Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. So none of them are in the Hall of Fame. They weren't there in the Hall of Fame for the groups they were in before or Bad Company. And Dave and I, John, were talking about this. There's a fair – I mean, there's a lot of American acts, but there's a lot of British acts that are not in the Hall of Fame. And I don't know how it compares, but – the percentage of Brits in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame compared to how impactful they've been in the rock and roll world has got to be low.
Look at Chad and Jeremy, John. You've got to admit, them two guys, they had a lot of hits, but
well,
all these in there.
Take the Citic 60s British Invasion in general.
Yes.
I mean, there's some in, the obvious ones, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and the Hollies, and the Kinks, and the Who, but there's what I call maybe lesser known, but they were part of the British Invasion. You're Jerry and the Pacemakers. You're Peter and Gordon. You're Chad and Jeremy. You know, I mean, you can make a case for all them. And I mean, unless you're in the inside, a lot of the acts of the British Invasion were ignored. And, John, you were talking about them earlier off the air. The Zombies, you can make a case for them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could get me going on that because that's my thing right there, the British Invasion music from, like, 62 to 67, that era right there, I always, you know, I definitely believe that there was a renaissance of music that happened at that time, and I think it opened a door, and I don't think that door will ever be open. I personally think it came from the United States, from Chuck Berry and Little Richard and Howlin' Wolf and all those guys. It originated there, but then in a weird way, the people in the United States that needed to appreciate that music weren't doing it, so it had to go over to the British Isles and take their take on it. Then it came back, and then everybody said, oh, that's a really cool song. Oh, that song's been around for a long time. And it's those bands that I think, you know, when you're talking about the Dave Clark Five, you talk about the Searchers, bands like that that were it was just different. It was something that, like, we talked on this show many times about how it sparked the interest for rock and roll. It was like this new light shined on it that people were thinking, wow, that, you know, it's like, okay, we just came out of a really dark time with you know, all these things with World War II and all this other stuff, and now here we have these you know, different type of music that makes you feel good. So I think that means a lot, you know, to me when I look at bands, you know, bands that made an impact on culture. They made an impact
on
the way people live.
You brought up a good point on culture, not only in culture and everything else, and the clothes we would wear down the road. Nobody now would have been wearing very bright shirts and stuff if it hadn't been for the British invasion. They brought out the styles of clothes we wore. I remember myself, I had my own big long ties I'd wear and stuff. And it just what they did to everything. And I tell you, one that gets left out, and John brought this up in our discussion last night, and I know they count him as a bubblegummer, so it's Peter Noon of Herman's Hermits. They act like he's just no more than a cartoon character. and it's sad.
You're right.
It's really sad. It's just like he's one of the monkeys or something. I said the wrong word.
Uh-oh. Careful then.
Yeah, but to me, Peter Noon had a good voice. I think he calls that, but they discriminate him.
And he's still singing today in his 70s.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that tells you a lot.
Yeah, that tells you a lot. And I agree with you guys. And I think that, you know, we need to look at that. So my guests tonight are John and David Timmons. We're talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, who is not in and possibly why. And we've got a lot of great music to play tonight. So I think we'll take a music break, guys, and then we'll come back and we'll start kind of looking at the latest class of people that have been you know, inducted, and what we think of that. And also we're going to take some time to look at some of the bands that are still hanging around. I'm real glad that there's a couple of bands that came in this time into the being inducted that I was real happy to see. But we'll talk about that. So we'll be right back. You're listening to John Talk Radio, and we want everybody to have a very safe trick-or-treat Halloween night tonight. Be careful. You see the little guys out there. Don't drive like an idiot. And we'll be right back after this with John and David Timmons.
Used to think we were so complete. I can't believe
A big finish there by Chicago Transit Authority. Before that, we heard Cliff Richard with We Don't Talk Anymore. Tonight's special guests are John and David Timmons, and we're talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and who is not in and why they're not in and why we need them in. And we've talked about how that we believe that they should do it. And I really believe, guys, that they should have us in there voting, and maybe we can talk to somebody and say, hey, you really need us, and we need to be in there. And we're not that far from Cleveland, so we can go there and vote.
Oh, I'd have my Raiders T-shirt on right now. And Mata Hoople.
And your Mata Hoople hat on, so you'd be ready to go.
Yeah, I was still dancing with the devil woman a second ago, so I forgot about everything.
Yep, I tell you, she gets in your mind. She's hard to get out once she's in there.
Yeah,
but
she does.
Yeah, she's something else. But we did talk, listening to those songs, and I just want to I really appreciate that my mute button works, because if it didn't, I'm sure if whatever listeners we had, we would have lost them, because I was really singing really loud. It has a lot to do with the songs. You just, those things hit the chord in your life, and you just, it brings back a lot of great memories, and you just start singing. And I'm thinking, I could probably hear the dogs howling downstairs and Marcy like filing a complaint with the village.
It might make good backup vocals.
Oh, they do. They do a pretty good job. But we do have a caller, so let's bring the caller on. Hi, caller. You're on John Talk Radio. What, you have something for John and David?
Hi, guys. This is Dave from Mount Sterling.
Hey,
well,
Dave.
I made a short list.
The amazing one.
I made a short list today of 37 people that should be in the Hall of Fame. So that was my short list.
Short list of 37. Okay.
Well, here was some of the ones that I came up with. Obviously, you mentioned Cliff Richard. Even on the website, I saw you mentioned Paul Anka. I was thinking of the Guess Who and Bachman-Turner Overdrive. Obviously, that they're Canadian, but and also Blood, Sweat, and Tears. David Clayton Thomas was Canadian.
Yeah.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears ought to be in, I think, before Chicago, because they started, they brought that horn sound into rock music. You mentioned Gary and the Pacemakers. I was thinking, and also Herman's Hermits. I have them on my list. Grand Funk Railroad, the Doobie Brothers, Jimmy Buffett, Boston, Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Yeah.
Tommy James and the Shondells. Really?
Yeah.
Tommy
That's
James
exactly.
and Shondells is not in.
Shocking.
And here's
David,
one
you need
that
to go
I
to you need to go to Cleveland with us if I saw three.
Well, and here's one that it blew me away too, because she's in as a writer but not a performer, and that's Carole King.
Yep.
Whoa.
Mm.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's not in as a performer, she's in as a songwriter.
Hey, Dave, you brought up a point. Connie Francis.
Yeah.
All them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
I know you talked about the Moody Blues. I had Kenny Loggins. Mm. I had Gary Rafferty. I had Foghat, Foreigner. Who else did I have? Obviously, Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Yeah, and don't tell me, don't tell me you left out Mata Hoople too.
Yes, it's my short list, Dave. Nielsen, Harry Nielsen should be in.
I agree.
With that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's another guy who's still performing today, and putting out really good records. Is Boss Skaggs.
The Boss. Yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, I had some various other people like Phoebe Snow, Seals and Crofts, Carly Simon.
Don't Carly Simon shock you?
Al Jarreau. Al Jarreau, I know he's R&B, jazz,
but still, he has to for
if
music.
If Chaka
yeah.
Khan's on the list for this year, why can't Al Jarreau be on the list?
Good.
That's my point.
Good.
But, I can't believe Grand Funk's not, in.
Hey, Dave,
there's a lot of groups I'm probably missing.
The Raspberries. Look what they did for Power Pop. Yes.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Well, let me say this, Doc. You know that you mentioned a good number X, and I want to bring this up. You already heard me talk about that tends to be a bias toward British X, and I think you're kind of alluding toward Canadian X too. And I think there's some truth to that. The other bias that I'm seeing is the bias toward what I call the groups that had hits. They were hits of the '60s, maybe not albums, like the Association. Like the Buckinghams, like Gary Lewis and the Playboys, they will not give them any consideration. They don't get any respect,
no.
But yet they had a lot of hits in the '60s.
Because they was 45 right. records instead of albums, basically,
yeah.
and they discriminate them. They had good records. Kind of a drag is one of my favorite songs. It don't make sense. Yeah.
But I know you're happy because your group got in a couple of years ago, which would be Steely Dan.
Right. And again, if you look at longevity, you know, they're still making records. I mean,
yeah,
yes.
I guess, and I think there is a lot of bias. And I'll say this, John, I think there's a huge bias to bands from New York.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, look
there's
at the. I mean, the Ramones. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The Ramones.
Oh, right. The Ramones.
I mean, I don't
want to
pick on the bands that are in there, but.
Yeah, well, I don't want to make Ramones fans mad, but the Ramones couldn't carry the Paul Revere and the Raiders guitar cases.
And I've done this in shows.
Think,
yeah, when you look at the website and you look at the groups that are in there, you know, the bands in, you know, groups that have like a New York connection.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, you're right. New York's got so much pull. And then you think of L.A. the same way. But you brought up a good point. Look at all the hits the Association had. And I think what hurt the Association, they never made that many albums.
The Doobie Brothers.
Yes.
And again,
yes,
longevity, you know.
Yes, and everything. And you brought up Jerry Rafferty. Look at Jerry Rafferty's career. He's gone now, but he had hits with Stiller Wheel. He had hits with the Humbugs in England long before he was with Stiller's Will, and plus his solo career. And you bring up
right.
a good point, just like I brought up Paul Rodgers. You could put them in so many different areas and everything. So it's just such a view of what – I wonder what these voters are looking for. It's on that board, and I wish they would wake up. And I think us four need to go to Cleveland, and I wish they'd let us vote because there would be a lot of changes. I think the two Johns agree with me.
I'm ready.
You mentioned it earlier, though. There is a huge bias against the '60s groups because, I mean, there's just a handful of those groups that were popular in the mid to late '60s that are in. And the Grassroots was another group I thought about. And,
good point.
Yeah. I love the Grassroots.
Three Dog Night. Corey Wells.
Three Dog Night.
We just lost Corey Wells, just passed away.
Yeah.
And Three Dog Night's not in.
I'll hang up and let somebody else call in, but I really appreciate the show, and there's so many other groups that fine musicians that need to be considered.
Definitely. Hey, David, remember one thing. Vote for Razor's Edge one day.
I'll definitely vote
for heard they had a – the only thing I know, they had a wonderful lead singer, and they said he was good. That's all I'll say.
Well, actually, I had the other guitarist here at my house this afternoon.
Oh,
so
okay.
There might be a reunion in the works.
There you go. I hear it.
Hey, we'll have you
all
on
right, you
show.
Have a good night, guys.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, bye.
So let's talk about, guys, we have another caller, too. So I guess we can bring them on right now. Let's do that. Hello, caller. You're on John Talk Radio. Do you have something for John and David?
Yes, John. This is Steve from Williamsport, and I'm really enjoying the show tonight.
Hi, Steve.
And,
thanks for joining.
How you doing, Steve?
Great show. Good. But, you know, I actually went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I got to admit, I was only there one day. If you actually go there, you have to at least to catch everything. You got to be at least two or three days at least. But
yep.
They had like a theater that showed some of the inductees of the prior classes. I got to admit, I was really, really disappointed because a lot of these groups that we've already mentioned and touched on, you know, I'm looking for them. Where are they at? You know, where's all these other groups? And I'm watching this. The class was inducted different years. And I'm thinking, now, isn't this the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? And then they have these one-hit wonders. and they've got the disco queen Donna Summers up there. I'm thinking, she's not rock and roll. And I'm thinking,
exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly,
the board, that, the board that elects these acts, okay, they're not transparent and they hold their cards close to their chest. I think it's all political. Now, I'm thinking, well, maybe it was a record label or a promoter or a manager that got stiff by these early 60 groups, and this is kind of their way of getting sweet revenge, but they need to take the vote out of their hands and put it in the people, the fans that buys the music, and let them put those acts in there. That's where it belongs.
I totally agree with that.
The root.
Hey, Steve, you've been
to
the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and Steve, you caught a good point. Even in them videos, there are some that they're, in your own opinion, do you think they really belong there after you saw those videos?
No.
And
I never even heard of some of these people. I have never even heard of some of these people. How
that's what disgusts
there?
Me.
And I tell you,
that's what's disgusting about it, and John will tell you the same thing. It is disgusting.
Their music's not even rock and roll, but you know, it's kind of like going back and tracking your family tree, and they're going to say, well, let's start with the fourth and fifth generations. We'll forget about the first and second, third, the ones that influenced everything else, and we'll not even include them, you know? I mean, how can you ignore all these acts that were all classical rock and rollers and deny them a place in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I mean, that's a major injustice.
Steve, you brought up a good point. Look at groups like Yes, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Their style of rock was different from progressive rock. I would call it a colorful rock, and maybe my two Johns there agree with me. They were more progressive, but did they ever get a chance to be in the Hall of Fame? Their name's been brought up, but because their gentry of music's different, and they can't tell me they had good albums. They didn't go for hits. They made good albums, and I've never heard a better what I call for organ thing around about is what Yes did. But yet, are they going to get any credit? No. And don't make sense. Don't make sense.
Well, it doesn't.
You know, Steve, we talk about the biases. I'm going to bring up another bias. It's against the, as far as the progressive rock sound. I think that's why the Moody Blues aren't getting in, because they were like the early kind of making that sound, and then led to, you know, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. It led to Yes. Now, Yes finally got nominated this year. But I think the voters, some reason, don't like that type of sound, for some reason they're not embracing it. And I want to go back to an earlier point you made too, Steve, is that, you know, I like your, as far as the family ancestry, you know, we're only gone or these generations. Let me give you an example in my research, what I found out. There's a person who is the former foundation director of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Her name is Suzanne Evans. And it says that a former member commented that at one point, Susan Evans, she said the choice is being made because there weren't enough big names would sell tickets to the dinner. She quickly took care of the situation by dropping one of the doo-wop groups who was supposed to get inducted in favor of a name artist that people would know.
Whoa.
Like, and by a name artist, someone that would track people that want to buy tickets to go just to see them when they may not be as deserving.
Exactly.
Not that I'm a doo-wop fan, but
just
like there's 60s rock and roll bands getting ignored, I'm sure there's some doo-wop bands from the 50s getting ignored. Because
I agree with that.
They were the pioneers, but they may not be the names to sell tickets to get people to want to go to the event.
Right. And you know, it's like Father Time's passing these early groups by. And it's like a lot of generations, they don't know, well, who's the Moody Blues or who's Grand Funk Railroad. They have no clue. And I mean,
look at this point, guys, too. Look how talented Eric Carmen was. Not only with the Raspberries, he had a real good solo career. Plus, John, didn't he write several hit records for other artists?
And
so you look at that, they just totally ignored certain people. And, John, you brought up a good point. It comes down to the almighty dollar. We're not selling enough tickets for the dinner. Let's kick this out. Let's this artist out, even though he's been a great artist or she's been a great artist or group. We can't make no money with them. That's sad. That is very sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, I'll say this, and then I'll let you go. But you know, you talked earlier and touched on the British influence. And, you know, the British influence, I mean, they had a vast opportunity in America to bring their act to America and become that much more huge. And really, the American acts were directly influenced by the British acts. So, I mean,
right.
They need each other, and you can't deny that marriage, you know. But I just think these guys that does all the voting and setting this up for new membership, they've got it all wrong. They've got it entirely wrong. And I don't
agree
with the way they're doing it. So,
Steve, I want to make one more point, is that the lack of transparency. Nobody can give me a list of who votes.
And they're not going to.
That bothers me because you know,
I think it's
like
Rocky
to,
and
because believe me, I would be lobbying these people.
It's the Illuminati
right now.
It's all politics, I'm afraid.
It is. But you know, it's sad state of affairs, and I think they should give the public a chance to vote. I really do. And until that day comes, we're just not going to see certain artists in there.
That's right. And I, like I say, that's what's wrong about the whole setup. So, well, hey, listen, great show, and I'll get off here and maybe let someone else call in. And great show,
Steve.
Guys. Enjoying it.
You take care.
We appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now let's take another music break, and then we'll come back, and then we'll talk about the new inductees and if you guys agree with it and who you think should be in and who's out. My guests are John and David Timmons. We're having a great show tonight. A lot of callers and a lot of great conversation. We've got David's blood pressure up a little bit with the bot the hoople and I was getting a little worked up when I was just like you guys were doing when I was thinking about Cliff Richard, and I thought there is no way that guy shouldn't be in. At least induct him, give him a shot. But anyway. We'll be right back after this, guys. Thanks for listening to this show, and we'll be here till 7:30 tonight, and we'll be right back after this. We're going to play some good music to integrate into our show tonight, and we'll be right back.
Life and land I once lived in. change my life. I'm looking for a miracle in my life. And if you could see what it's done to me, the little I have, you could simply see the beauty, the land that I once knew, to learn and to grow on the secrets of your soul. It's not the way that you say it when you do those things to me. It's more the way you really mean it when you tell me what will be.
Away from me.
talked to the devil woman. Now we've talked to the American woman. It's all within John Talk Radio tonight with the Timmons Brothers, the rock historians. We're talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, an overview of who is not in and possibly why. So, guys, I know we've just got about 26 minutes left. I think it might be good to talk about some of the current inductees that just got in, but I want you guys to have the freedom to talk about subjects and things that I may have missed, and to be able to get it in within the limits of the show. So, out of the groups that are just been currently inducted, what do you think of that group of people?
Well, I tell you, one is Rush. I'm really glad Rush got in. That's a Canadian band. Dave brought up a good point. Canadian bands, and you got to admit, a fan of Rush or not, Rush, they've been very, very long-lasting. They're still touring this day. Original members. They've influenced many of young independent bands, and you can't help but when you think of Rush, about their Tom Sawyer's one of my favorite Rush songs, and I think that is one inductee. It belongs there. They're a good band. And my second one is Kiss. I know Kiss is one of them ones, but you got to admit, Kiss came up the hard way. They didn't. They were word of mouth. It hadn't been for Cream and Circus magazine. Nobody would have first heard of Kiss, and when he was Wicked Lester. But that's two bands that I think that really belong in the Hall of Fame. They both had to earn their way to get there, and just like I said, at least that's two legitimate bands, I think. And I'll see what John says.
Well, I think they should put at least one either 60s or 70s act in regardless and leave it to popular vote, and I think they got it right this past year when they inducted the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. I think that they may not have hits, but they definitely had a lot of influence, and their artists, you know, were influencing other artists. I mean, they had Mike Bloomfield, Paul Butterfield, Alvin Bishop, and, you know, worked with Bob Dylan the night he went electric at the festival. What was the name of that festival in 65? Newport Festival. So that I like that Ringo Starr finally got in as a solo artist. I thought that was long overdue too, because any artist respects Ringo. The way he can get all these famous people to go out with him the tour, that tells you a lot. When I don't think there's that many people could make a phone call and say, hey, you want to come and tour with me, that would get the kind of response that they all give to Ringo.
No, that's he's all. Nobody could touch that. I mean, it's totally amazing. Yeah, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Lou Reed, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Bill Withers. Now the five Royales, I'm not too aware of them, but
Lou Reed, he deserves it too. Lou Reed, not his solo work, but his work with the Velvet Underground too. And like I said, but I wonder if Lou Reed would have had got in if he hadn't passed away. I'm always skeptical. He was very talented in his own way, and like I said, it just makes you wonder about that at times. But yet he deserves that and everything. But it's very interesting the ones they put in, and then the ones they brought up now. I have heard Chicago has a chance of getting in now. They're on the nominee list, and we just knock on wood. I hope they can make it, but there's never no guarantee.
No, that's true. Out of the nominee list, what do you think of that? What do you guys think of that, the ones that are nominated?
I don't know where you go to this poll, but a person that is a regular listener to this show wrote me an email and said he may not be able to hear it live, but he sent me this email telling me that there's a voting online. Of course, it's not going to make any difference. The people are going to vote who they want. But as far as popular vote, right now the leader of everybody that's nominated for 2016 is Chicago with 23.47% of the vote. Next is Yes with 16.1% of the vote. And then the Cars by popular vote come in third. Now, in my opinion, when I look at this year's nominees, I would say without question, you got to put in Chicago and you got to put in Deep Purple. those are the two that would be my first two choices out of the nominees right away. And then I'm leaning toward Yes and the Steve Miller Band. But that's me.
Well, I think there are everyone you mentioned should be in. I really do. Yeah, those are great groups. I think I told you guys I had a pretty good summer of music. I went to see Deep Purple at the Ohio State Fair, and my goodness, they were good. Think about it. These guys are in their 70s. They're close to it anyway. And and they sounded so tight. I mean, it wasn't like an oldies. Yeah, it's not like an oldies revival band that they get a couple of guys, they can barely stand up, you know. They put them up front, and then they get a young band behind them. This was all the guys, and I would have to agree with you, John, on that. I think it's one of those things where if I didn't know I could vote, maybe I'll go out there and vote. But you have to look at the Cars, too. I mean, wow, they were pretty influential.
They had their own sound. And you got to admit, guys, they ruled the 80s.
Now, that's kind of the new age music, wasn't it? New wave?
Yeah. Was that one song, My Best Friend's Girlfriend, I think it was. And you know one thing about him? He always remind me of a superhero I used to know called the Elongated Man, because that guy, his lead singer's neck used to stretch out in the sun.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Who am I talking about?
He's the one that would stretch his arms like in his legs. He could
Reed Richards of the Fantastic Four.
He even predated Stretch Armstrong. He was doing the stretching before they made the toy Stretch Armstrong. I think they call him Elongated Man.
Yeah.
And he wore a purple outfit and I think a purple mask over his eyes. But he did look like him. I'd have to or Big Bird.
Yeah, Big Bird was a good example too. But you know, guys, but they did have their field. But I agree with both you guys. Deep Purple should be in, and then like I said, it just depends how they want it. And they don't announce the '60s group. I believe that's not until they announce them. John, ain't it February?
That's how they usually do it. It's announced later. And I think they really need to keep the '60s act going, because now you're starting getting more of these '80s acts coming up and pushing the '60s act back. I mean, I'm not going to say the Cars don't deserve it, but you're going to have more acts like that coming on. But we still got acts from the '60s that need to get in too.
And Grand Funk Railroad's been brought up a lot tonight, guys. You don't realize how many Grand Funk Railroad fans are out there. I can go far back almost as Terry Knight and the Pack. And long before they was Grand Funk, and if any group deserves that, it's Grand Funk Railroad. You take a group that could sell out Shade Stadium at the time they did and break the Beatles' record. And I got to admit, one of my favorite all-time albums for Grand Funk is the War American Band on gold vinyl. I remember when I got that, and I said, that's the closest to a gold record I'll ever come. But it was good. It was good.
And I have to put in my 2 cents for Cheap Trick. I've always thought they should be in. I love that band.
Agree.
I think that's a really good rock and roll band. I mean, not
John
fancy.
And I caught them in concert. They are good.
Yeah, I've only seen them once, but I was really impressed. And I've always thought that they were a very tight band. And they've had hits. I don't think they've had a lot of hits, but they've made a whole lot of music, and they're still out there touring with most of the original guys. So you got to give them credit for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
John, you brought up a good point too. One of my favorite live albums is Live at Budokan. That is one of the best live albums. And guys, there's another guy we kind of forget.
And wait a minute, before you say it, let me say the word live.
Yeah, Peter Frampton.
Because I think I know who you're going to mention from 1976.
Peter Frampton.
Thank you,
Peter Frampton. Guys, not only his guitar work alone, who does David Bowie get when he goes on tour? Peter Frampton. And he does not get him for singing or backup vocals. And Frampton makes this comment, when I'm with Bowie, Mary Johnny said on that interview, I'm just the lead guitar man. And that's what he wants. This guy is very talented, but he's got typecast basically for a pretty boy early in his career instead of what he could really do. And it just amazes me how they overlook these ones. And I can't, you know, I'm not going to leave out the band from the little town from Idaho, John.
Yeah.
Well,
the
we've done a two-part show on Paul Revere and the Raiders, so we have put out our case, and we put out the resume, and they should be in, yes.
Yeah, yeah, they should be. And also, as I'm kind of looking through here, a band that a lot of people may not know or think are as good as they are, but Los Lobos has always been one of my favorite
yes.
bands. I've loved those
I
guys. I mean, musically, Kiko and the Lavender Moon is an album that stands out all on its own. And that is an incredible album. But, you know, I don't know whether they'll, you know, they should be in over some of the other people that I like. But it's interesting. I think, you know, you got Chaka Khan. She's Janet
there.
Jackson. And they're in there.
Guys, Pure Prairie League. I know they had their own genre, but Pure Prairie League, they had quite a few hits. But they was based what they call, well, I'd call it country rock. But they had their own sound. And New Riders of the Purple Sage.
Yeah.
There's two there, and I don't know if Poco is in yet or not. I don't think they are.
I don't think so.
And so you get thinking about their influences. Look at the Eagles couldn't have survived without members from Poco between Meisner and Timothy B. Schmidt. So you look at it that way. So, but I just don't know how. And I think of Connie Francis. I got to bring up some of the lady singers. Leslie Gore. They had their own sound too, and we can't overlook them what they contribute to the music scene. And I don't know. I don't understand at times who they want and who they don't want. And it's a strange way.
Well, we'll definitely have to look into the voting part because I didn't know you could do that. But that's a good point, John. We'll look into that. How much weight that has on anything, I don't know. But it's always good to know that you can do that. So we got about 15 minutes left. What else do we need to explore with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the people that are not in?
Well, I want to take a moment to recognize other Hall of Fames that do it differently. Believe it or not, there is a vocal group Hall of Fame, and I never knew about it until I did research. It's located in Sharon, Pennsylvania, and it was founded by the only surviving and founding member of the Letterman. His name is Tony Butala, and what it does, it inducts 16 different artists each year, and unlike the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the artists are inducted within different categories, so they try to get a person from each of the various categories, and the categories are by decades, 40s through the 80s, and then they do another one called the duos. And the interesting thing about this vocal group Hall of Fame, that solo artists cannot be inducted. You have to be either in a band or you had a legitimate backing band. Like, for instance, if you had Tom Petty and Heartbreakers, he could be inducted because he had a legitimate backing band. But what led me to find out about him, that is one Hall of Fame. The Moody Blues have been inducted into the Vocal Group Hall of Fame.
Wow. That's weird.
Hmm. Yes, you know, because, you know, when you hear vocal, you know, you think of more concentrating on the singing like the Letterman, but
they're more
apparently
progressive. That is surprising.
You know, it surprised me. And then in my research, Dave and I, we talked about this last night, we always wondered whether or not there was a UK Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Well, strangely enough, there is and there was. It only lasted for a couple of years. It was really a metaphorical United Kingdom. They called it United Kingdom Music Hall of Fame. It was done by a TV station over there. Didn't have a building, didn't have a location, but they would have a ceremony and put on TV. And they claimed they lost sponsorship, but they were only around for 4 years. I think they were around from 2004 to 2008, I believe, and they went away. But I don't know. I think that now this is just my humble opinion. I think the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame got word of it and did not like there was competition going on, and I really wonder if they kind of pulled some interference, because why would such a good idea just end so abruptly?
Yeah,
it makes you
that's
wonder.
True.
And if, you,
what,
if the listeners out there want to check it out, it's called, they can Google it. It's the UK Music Hall of Fame, and they'll find out it was around for 4 years. And the first five artists to get in, you would never guess, because I gave this to Dave in an earlier conversation. I said, you name it. He named the Beatles. Said, okay, that's one. And he named Elvis, and I said, that's two. But other three, you never think. You think Rolling Stones, obviously. No. The first five to get into the UK Music Hall of Fame were Elvis, the Beatles, Bob Marley, Madonna, and U2.
Wow.
What an interesting collection. Not saying that any of them don't deserve it, but the UK Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
You know.
Look at all the others they could have had. It don't make sense. Just like David Crosby said once, I don't think rock and roll is what it's supposed to be at times, like David Crosby said once. and it gets frustrating.
Yeah, I think that it's an interesting thing. I don't know why Madonna would be in it, but didn't she live in England sometimes? Or
She had a part in Birmingham. Yes.
Yeah.
But
so I don't know.
That could be it.
I guess
you,
she had that. So.
Let me say this while we're on the UK Hall of Fame.
Sure.
In 2004, in its first year of existence, along with the founding members who were voted in, they went to the general public and allowed the general public to vote in five members, and you could vote in Britain. And in this Hall of Fame, he not only did he get in, but his band did. Cliff Richard and the Shadows got in.
Wow.
The Rolling Stones, Queen, Michael Jackson, and this must be a more recent artist from the 90s, Robbie Williams, who I cannot tell you much about, but other than
now
I know he's from the 90s.
Great,
but,
so, John, that's a great selection there, though, basically.
Yeah.
I agree with
Baldwin. See what I'm saying? The fans got it right more than the experts.
Yes.
Yep.
But where's Mott the Hoople at? That's England. No Mott the Hoople?
I'm looking, David. I'm sure if it hadn't ended in 2006, it actually ended in 2006, they would have gotten in by now.
Now, how about gold? Hey, guys, you know I'm going to push for it, but don't Gold Mine have their own Hall of Fame, too?
Yes. And that's another topic, John, because there was one of the Gold Mine Hall of Fame is really doing it in an interesting way. They're taking up to 700 acts, and they induct so many every so many months, and I think they're up to like 550 now, and they've been doing this for a couple of years. And in that Hall of Fame, Paul Revere and the Raiders are in the Gold Mine Hall of Fame. The Gold Mine, the publication that's been around for years for record collectors and so on. They have quite an interesting list. Pretty much their criteria, though, is really, really different. They look more at how did they do on the charts, was their music popular.
John who's on this Hall of Fame, too. You got to tell him this.
I always said it was Paul Revere and the Raiders. And, Mott the Hoople.
He's on Columbia, too.
Mott the Hoople's in it. They are in it. I'm not making this up. I'm actually looking.
I had to get this in.
Oh, yeah.
But
I had to get that in.
But their criteria, like I was saying, is slightly different. I know we were talking about the criteria earlier. And when it comes to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, their criteria, here's what they look at for their artists. Now, they agree with the 25-year waiting period from the first release, just like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But as I indicated earlier, you got to have some kind of success on the charts. And they look at influence, which the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame does. But, John, here's the difference between the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Gold Mine Hall of Fame. It's two words, common sense. We take a close look at each inductee and how he or she is inducted. Like if you induct a Buddy Holly, when you put in the Crickets too, as opposed to putting Buddy Holly in 1 year and waiting about 15 years later and you decide, well, maybe we should put the Crickets in.
Oh, that's funny.
So that's my little genre there of different Hall of Fames.
John, you guys, do you think that will have an influence, though, on the Cleveland Hall of Fame, this Golden, this their
Gold
Hall
Mine?
Of Fame? Fame maybe of down the road guys?
No.
I think it will. I think it will.
Oh, you
don't
think so?
Okay.
I wonder, guys.
I seriously don't think they care one way or another.
Whoa.
That's true.
I feel that way, too.
Yeah, correct me if I'm pronouncing this name, because I cannot find the correct I've been trying to find how he pronounced it. But this founder of Rolling Stone magazine, someone needs to talk with him because he has a lot of clout, and his opinion goes a long way on who gets into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. And I assume he pronounces Jen Winner. At least that's how it looks like it's spelled. But he certainly carries a lot of clout. And if you're not on his good side, John, I'd have to agree with you. Just getting in the Rock and the Gold Mine Hall of Fame, I don't think it's going to help.
I don't think he would even know what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Now, if he is listening, there was a group from Idaho way back in 61, and they're called the Raiders. If he is listening, and also there was a group that started out in Sheffield, England in 69 called Mott the Hoople. So in case he is listening, fans.
You know, it would be fun to try to get somebody from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame board on the show. That would be really cool.
Yes. I definitely want to be on that show.
If they would release the names, so you would know who to contact.
Yes.
They could even call and we wouldn't even say who they were.
Paul Schaefer a member, John?
Talks about a lot, and I don't know, but he's at most of the inductions. He's usually helping with the live band.
You know, that's why I was curious about him. He might be.
Schaefer of the former of the David Letterman show.
Yep, he's always in those award shows. Now, does the Gold Mine, do they have an award show and a ceremony and all that?
You know, John, I was trying to find that. I don't think they do, because I was checking on that. Now the one I mentioned for the United Kingdom in those 4 years was really, the whole idea was to have something live, actually have a performance for TV. I think the Gold Mine magazine is the opposite. I think it's just like a name, and they kind of honor you in one of their publications, I think.
Oh, okay. So you don't get a gold-plated anything or a ring or a hat or anything. I'm in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame T-shirt.
Yeah, right.
At least a T-shirt. Please give them a T-shirt.
A T-shirt and a baseball hat. That's all I feel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's great.
You know, we kid about it, guys, but seriously, there's so many talented men, women, and groups out there. It doesn't have a chance, and it's so sad, guys. It is. I think of a lot of black artists they overlook. It's just not right.
Who is it? I think is the Spinners are finally been nominated?
After all these years.
Long overdue.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would think they should be in, without a doubt. The OJs, I don't think they're in, are they?
Yeah. No, they're not in.
The OJs
are actually in,
I believe. Yeah.
How about the Use Corporation?
No,
don't
I don't think
the
they're.
Boat.
No, that,
oh,
that,
I love
they
that
aren't.
Song, though. You know, they should be.
Don't rock the boat?
Yeah, the OJs
are actually in.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
They were inducted in 2005, but let me give you another artist group that has been around since the late 60s, Kool & the Gang.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a lot of hits throughout the 70s and 80s, and there's even a semblance of that band still touring.
How about Earth, Wind & Fire, gang?
I think they're in.
Yeah,
They should be.
I don't know if they are or not, but yeah, if they aren't, they should shut the place down.
Yes, they are. They are in. They were inducted in 2000.
Hey, John, and one I want to push before we run out of time, Thin Lizzy. That band does not get enough credit either. And I'm going to push for my bands tonight.
Yeah, push for them, but I don't think they'll ever get in. But
all that talent. Oh, it's sad.
You know, while you're naming people that. There's a large cult following of this artist. I'm not saying he's ever going to get in, but these people really believe in him. And he was a darn good songwriter. I would put him right there with Bruce Springsteen, and that's Warren Zevon.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Warren.
He may never get in,
but... Halloween.
Yeah,
exactly.
London.
But he has some loyal fans that really promote him.
Very talented.
Jesse's a very loyal fan of them.
Yeah, very very talented singer-songwriter. Unbelievable, yep. Well, guys, we're running out of time, so I just want to say thanks. This has been a great show. Thank you for being on.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
It's been a pleasure, as usual. And I do want to mention one artist that I think one time you opened up one of our shows with when Dave and I were the guests. And I want to get a plug for them because I know there's our listener out there, Jeffro Tull, with his own Create a Way. You can make a case for that because he definitely had his own sound that I don't think anybody else has been ever able to sort of duplicate in a reel to rock.
Yeah, Ian Anderson with his one leg flute playing.
Yes, one
leg. Yeah. Well, one thing I want to say before I say goodbye, there was a group on Where the Action Is. Please listen for them one day. That's all I'll say. And John, I really enjoyed being on the show tonight.
Yeah, it's been great. And you can go on the Timmons Brothers website. It's timmonsrock.com. Is that right, guys?
Yes, that is right. And we'll have the latest what is going on with us. They can check us out there.
We're doing many reunions now.
And it tells how to contact us if they want to learn more about our shows.
And we'll have you on real soon. And, guys, thank you. And thank you, everybody, for supporting John Talk Radio. We're going into November. We're going into our eighth year. So that's pretty cool. And
congratulations.
Yeah. Well, thanks. It's all because of you guys and just having these great shows and great guests and it's been a lot of fun. So thanks everyone and everybody have a great and safe Halloween and trick or treat. And John and David, thank you so much. And we'll talk to everybody later.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John.